It's I think again, we need to guard very much about our ability to intellectually to get in into every little details beyond what the scripture given us. So we always need to guard that in mind. Two scenes that for man to bow and to adore. The manger. How could be the one who is upholding the universe in his own power could say, I was cast upon thee from the womb. This is the mystery of godliness. And it's one thing for us that to just bow and to adore and to stick with what the scripture said. The other scene is Calvary. How could be the one who is upholding the whole universe in his own power be hanged on a tree by nails? Again, it is the mystery of godliness. And with keeping that in mind, we kind of approach it very softly and to stick to the scripture. The responsibility of man in the crucifixion of the Son of God and what God have done, the apostle have answered that question in Acts chapter 2, and I will read the verse in Acts 2:23. And there where you see the two of them coming together. The responsibility of men in crucifying the Son of God. And the determined counsel of God that this is the only way for you and I to be atoned for through his death. Verse 23 said, him, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God. That's God's portion. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So here you see the hand of man, and here you see the counsel of God involved in this whole thing. All of the suffering from the hand of man would have never done anything to save my soul. Nothing. All of the suffering, cruel how it is. Because what it shows, Satan have mustered all his power against the Lord Jesus. Men have displayed what's in his heart of hatred toward the pure, holy Son of God. All of that was on display. It was never seen before like any man. When David wrote Psalm 22, I dare to say he did not really know what he was talking about. David was never forsaken of God. My God, why thou hast forsaken me? I think it was the verse that the Spirit of Christ was in them, testifying concerning the suffering of Christ and the glory that followed. They have pierced my hand and my feet. David never had his hand and his feet being pierced. So what we see here is that there is what men have done have nothing to do with the atonement or the redemption or the payment of my sin. But what men have done have displayed before God what was in our heart toward God's man, toward the man, Christ Jesus, who came to fulfill the will of God. The next 3 hours, that's where it is very hard to explain anything to you or to anybody. Because God have shrouded the whole, it's not just that scene in Judea or in Calvary. The whole universe was shrouded in darkness. The high priest, when he entered into the holiest of all on the Day of Atonement, Scripture make it very clear there that no one will be in the tabernacle at that moment. There was a holy scene. It's a little picture. We all know what had taken place there. But what had happened at Calvary, thank God for Calvary, as we have heard in the gospel. It is not for the human eyes to see, for the human mind to understand. I am so happy that I could not see it, but I'm also so happy that I have heard it is finished. I could not see it, but I could heard, I could hear it. It is finished, and that is sufficient for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helped.
There's a nice little pamphlet by Jan Darby called There's Nothing Like the Cross. I think it was extracted from his writings. And in that he mentions how at the cross so many things were brought to issue, right, and revealed, manifested, all in one. And we can't, with our human intellect, we can't disentangle all of these things. Everything was brought out at the cross. First of all, the love of God to sinners, to man. That's brought out. Also, the sinfulness of the heart of man was revealed. Because the greatest crime that was ever committed on planet Earth, humanly speaking, and we see there was God's counsels were involved in this, but from man's side, man's responsibility, was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Satan's power manifested over man in that he could marshal the governments and the religious groups and everything, marshal them against the Christ. And we see also, wonderfully, a perfect man in perfect obedience, in perfect submission to God, taking the place of the sinner. So all these things are working together. But what Brother Imam mentioned from Acts 2:23, that him be delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands are crucified and slain. We see this actually from the words of the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 3, where he's speaking to Nicodemus, and he's speaking about the Son of Man being lifted up as the serpent was in the wilderness. And that lifting up, of course, from chapter 12 of John is described as the crucifixion, as the cross. So he says, even as the serpent was lifted up from the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But then he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So that was from God's side. In chapter 8, we get the Lord speaking of that serpent, or that lifting up again, not the serpent, but the lifting up again in chapter 8. But he says there in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, he's speaking of the religious leaders, he's saying, and when you have lifted up the Son of Man, right? So that's again man's side. But again, this is holy ground, like the mystery of how these things are working together and the Lord bearing, being the sin bearer and his physical sufferings and all this. We best just keep our counsel, right? And just believe what the Bible has said about it rather than trying to explain it all.
Can we also say that on the cross, sin was judged by God, not by man. Mm-hmm. So what man did, it exposed their cruelty and their hatred. But sin was judged by God there for the Lord Jesus and Calvary.
I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We know this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I believe that was going on there at that point in Calvary.
Brother Sam, somebody said that if the scripture did not record it, we would never dare to say it.
Right.
But the scripture recorded that. And the question is always, so what can I get from what Christ has done? You cannot enter into it. You cannot fathom it. But nevertheless, dear saints, the Lord will bring much things for us to be grateful about. We have heard about it is finished. And these 3 hours of darkness that everybody is curious to know what happens, not for curiosity. But I can look at it in a way that I thank God for it. Although it's a 3 hours of something unknown to men. But I thank God. 3 hours of darkness have satisfied every claim of God. In 3 hours of darkness, he has secured us. He has blessed us in every spiritual blessing. We're saved, sanctified, justified. All these body of truth is done for you and for me in these 3 hours of darkness. What can I gain from my God, why hast thou forsaken? Let's not go there. But I can gain to see that even in an hour of suffering, he was still the perfect man. Because he acknowledged God, my God. During that time of agony and suffering and atoning for sin, yes, he is still my God. The Lord Jesus uttered that statement, thou art my God from the mother's womb. He uttered it on Calvary's cross. He uttered it in resurrection when he described it to Mary, my God and your God. And he uttered it in the book of Revelation when he spoke about the city of my God. And how wonderful to see that even in a scene of suffering where I should keep a tremendous distance, yet I can appreciate the perfection of his manhood even in such a scene.